It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zone Media.
Hello and welcome to Better Offline. I'm your host, Ed Zitron. It's been just under a year and a half since ChatGPT, an AI-powered chatbot launched by so-called non-profit OpenAI, ushered in a new investor and media hype cycle around how AI would change the world. ChatGPT's instant success made both OpenAI and its CEO, Sam Altman, overnight celebrities as a result of ChatGPT's alleged intelligence, which seemingly allowed you to do everything from generate an entire essay from a simple prompt to writing entire reams of software code. You can theoretically ask it anything, and it will spit out an intelligent-sounding response thanks to being trained on terabytes of text data, like a search engine that's able to think for itself. Big problem is, ChatGPT doesn't think at all. It doesn't know anything. ChatGPT is actually probabilistic. It uses a statistical model to generate the next piece of information in a sequence. If you ask it what an elephant is, it'll guess that the most likely answer to that prompt is that an elephant is a large mammal and then perhaps describe its features, such as a long trunk. ChatGPT doesn't know what an elephant is, or what a trunk is, or what the Elephantantae family is. It's simply ingested enough information to reliably guess what an elephant is meant to be, or indeed, know that that's what you're asking it. This is the technology underpinning the latest artificial intelligence boom. It's called generative artificial intelligence, and it's powered by large language models. And they underpin tools like OpenAI's ChatGPT, Anthropic's Claude, X.com's horrifying chatbot Grok, and of course, Google's Gemini. Essentially, they're AI systems that ingest vast quantities of written text or other data, and then, through mathematics, try and identify patterns and relationships between words or symbols, or basically any meaning from the text or thing they're being fed. And it almost seems like magic, because it's able to generate this plausible-seeming, almost human content at this remarkable speed. These models are now capable of generating text, images, and even video in response to simple chat prompts, all by learning the patterns and structures of their data. Yet underneath the hood, there's always something a bit wrong. Generative AI at times authoritatively spits out incorrect information, which can range from funny, like telling you that you can melt an egg, to outright dangerous, like when the recently launched AI-powered New York City chatbot for small business owners started telling them that it was legal to fire somebody for refusing to cut their dreadlocks. This is why you'll see strange glitches in images generated by AI, hands with too many fingers, horrifying-looking people in the back of realistic-looking photos, and so on and so forth. Because these models don't actually know what anything is. They don't have meaning. They don't have consciousness or intelligence. They're guessing. And when they guess, they sometimes hallucinate, which I'll get to soon. And while they might be really, really good at guessing, they're effectively a very, very powerful version of autocomplete. They don't know anything. I really mean that. These things aren't even intelligent. But because these models seem like they know stuff and they seem to be able to do stuff and the things that they create almost seem right, the media and the vocal investor class on Twitter have declared that large language models would change everything. To them, LLMs like ChatGPT would upend entire business models, render once unassailable tech giants vulnerable, and rewrite our entire economic playbook by turning entire industries into something you tell a chatbot to do in a sentence. You know, it doesn't really matter that generative AI is mostly good at pumping out reams of generic slop, and that it's also clogging services like Amazon's Kindle ebook store, and I guess the rest of the internet with generative content. It doesn't matter at all, because it's kind of good. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic. This is all very, very bad. In the last year, there have been hundreds of mewling articles about how AI will replace everything from drive-through workers to medical professionals. Theoretically, you could just feed whatever information a potential customer could ask for into a vast database and have an AI chew it up, and then they could just generate exactly the answer you'd need. AI would just naturally slip into areas of disorganization and inefficiency and spit out remarkable new ideas, all with minimum human input. Yet every one of these stories carries with them a shared belief. One might even call it a shared hallucination. And they all believe that generative AI will actually be able to do these things, that it'll actually be able to replace people. And what we're seeing today is just the beginning of our glorious automated future. But what if it's not? What if generative AI can't actually do much more than it can today? What if we're actually at peak AI? In the next two episodes, I'm going to tell you why I think that is. I'm going to tell you how I think this whole thing falls apart.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this nine-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AI's media hype train has been fairly relentless since November 2022 when ChatGPT launched. And AI champions like OpenAI CEO Sam Altman have proven all too willing to grease its wheels, making bold promises about what AI could do and how today's problems are so easily overcome. It's also helped that the tech media has largely accepted these promises without asking basic questions like how and when will it do this stuff and can it do this stuff? Don't believe me? Go and look at any interview with Sam Altman from the last few years. Watch any of them. In fact, just look at any AI figurehead getting interviewed and count the amount of times they've actually received any pushback or been asked to elaborate on any specific issue. It's actually very rare. Let me play you one of the few times that anyone's actually interrogated an AI person, specifically Joanna Stern of The Wall Street Journal, who you might remember from the Vision Pro episode of Better Offline. She interviewed OpenAI's chief technology officer, Mira Murati, about Sora, which is OpenAI's video-based version of ChatGPT, where you can theoretically ask it to generate videos. Just to be clear, it's unreleased and unclear whether it will ever actually get released, and the videos look good at first, then they look really weird. But just listen to this particular question. It's Joanna asking Mira, the CTO of OpenAI, an $80 billion AI company, hey, did you train on YouTube?
What data was used to train Sora?
We used publicly available data and licensed data.
So, videos on YouTube?
Now, I encourage you to go and look up this clip, because at this point, Murati makes the strangest face I've ever seen in a tech interview.
I'm actually not sure about that.
Okay. Videos from Facebook, Instagram?
You know, if they were publicly available, publicly available to use, there might be the data, but I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not confident about it.
What about Shutterstock? I know you guys have a deal with them.
I'm just not going to go into the details of the data that was used, but it was publicly available or licensed data.
The remarkable part about this interview is that it's a relatively simple question. You, as the CTO of an $80 billion AI company, what training data did you use to train your model? Did you use YouTube? It's a yes or no question, Mira. Mira, answer the bloody question, Mira. All right. The answer is, of course, that OpenAI likely trained its video generating model Sora on YouTube videos, which might be why they're yet to launch it. And the videos generated by Sora also feature some remarkably similar images to, say, SpongeBob SquarePants, and I wouldn't be surprised if they carry with them multiple weird biases about race and gender that we'll see in the future. But also, when you watch these videos, much like most generative AI content, there's something a bit off about them. In the Wall Street Journal's interview, you get to see some of the prompts that were used and some of the videos that came out, and you see crazy things happening, like a robot completely changing shape as it turns, cars disappearing and appearing behind the robot. It's not very good. It seems cool at first. If you squint really hard, it looks real, but there's always something off. And that's because, as I've said before, these models don't know anything. They don't know what a robot looks. They can make a really good guess, though. Anyway, Stern's interview with Murati of OpenAI is a great example of how the entire AI artifice falls apart at the slightest touch, because it's fundamentally flawed and not actually able to deliver the society-defining promises that Sam Altman and the venture capital sect would have you believe. In a year and a half, despite billions of dollars of investment, despite every major media outlet claiming otherwise, generative artificial intelligence has proven itself incapable of replacing or even meaningfully enhancing human work. And the thing is, all of these problems I'm talking about with generative AI, all of these hallucinations, all of these weird artifacts that are popping up throughout these videos, the weird mistakes that the texts that are popped out by ChatGPT have, all of these problems are problems that aren't necessarily just technological. They're physics. They're mathematics. These aren't things you can just outrun. And I believe that there are four intractable problems that will stop generative AI from progressing much further than it is today. The first is, of course, its energy demands, the massive amounts of power it requires. The second are its computational demands, the amount of compute power it requires to even crunch the simplest things out of ChatGPT. its hallucinations, the authoritative failures it makes when it spits out nonsense or creates a human hand with 18 fingers, and of course the fact that these large language models have an insatiable hunger for more training data. Now let me break that down. Large language models are extremely technologically and environmentally demanding. The New Yorker reported in March 2024 that ChatGPT uses more than 500,000 kilowatt hours of electricity to respond to the 200 million requests it receives in a day, or 17,000 times the amount that the average American household uses in a day, and others have suggested it might be as high as 33,000 households worth. Generative AI models demand specialist chips called graphics processing units, typically a souped-up version of the technology used to drive the graphics in a gaming console, albeit at a much higher cost, with each one costing tens of thousands of dollars each. They do this because large language models like ChatGPT are highly computationally intensive. I'm going to break that down, don't worry. When you ask ChatGPT a question, it tokenizes it, breaking it down into smaller parts for the model to understand. It then feeds these tokens into various mechanisms that help it understand the meaning of the thing you asked it to do. Based on the parameters that it learned in training, ChatGPT generates a response by predicting the most likely sequence of things that you might want it to do. An answer to a question, an image, so on and so forth. Each one of these steps is extremely demanding, processing hundreds of billions of these parameters, learned patterns from ingesting training data, such as how the English language works or what a dog looks like, to produce even the simplest thing. Training these models is equally intensive, requiring ChatGPT to process massive amounts of data, another problem I'll get to in a bit. Adjusting those hundreds of billions of parameters and developing new ones based on what the data says, as it quote-unquote learns more, though as we're clear, ChatGPT doesn't learn anything, it just makes new parameters to read things. A model like ChatGPT grows, making it more complex, which in turn requires more data to train on and more compute power to both ingest the data, create more parameters, and turn it into something resembling an answer. And because it doesn't know anything, it's suggesting the most likely to be correct answer, which leads it to hallucinating incorrect things that, based on probability, kind of seem like the right thing to say. These hallucinations are the dirty little secret of generative AI, and are impossible to avoid thanks to the fact that every single thing these models say is a mathematical equation rather than any kind of intellectual exercise. If you ask ChatGPT how many days there are in a week, it doesn't know that there are 7 days, but it's been trained on patterns of language and generates a result based on those patterns, which at times can be correct and can also be wrong. There's no way of fixing this problem. You can mitigate it, you can make it less likely it will mess up, but hallucinations will happen because there is no consciousness. It is not learning anything. This thing has no knowledge. More computing power would allow it more parameters to give it more rules so that a generative AI will be more likely to give a correct answer, but there's no eliminating them, and doing so may require more computing power than actually exists or is possible. Without an AI of consciousness, an impossible dream known as average generalized intelligence that Sam Altman would have you believe is imminent, there's really no solving hallucinations. When you answer questions using probability, you're always going to have mistakes because you're not actually answering them using knowledge, intellect, or experience. You're using dice rolls. It's a bloody game of Dungeons and Dragons. We turned Encarta into Dungeons and Dragons. Anyway, a newly published paper by Teppo Fellin and Matthias Holweg of the University of Oxford agrees, finding that large language models like ChatGPT are incapable of generating new knowledge. It's a remarkably in-depth rundown of the fundamental differences between a large language model and a human brain, and it combines both psychological and mathematical research, going back to child psychology as well, the basic building blocks of how we consume and learn things and how we make decisions as a result. The paper, titled Theory is All You Need, AI, Human Cognition, and Decision Making, argues that AI's data and prediction-based orientation is an incomplete view of human cognition, and that the forward-thinking theorizing of the human mind, in layman's terms, the mess of the information we've learned over our lives, our experiences, and our ability to look forward and consider the future, is just fundamentally different to a model that predicts things only based off of past data. Think of it like this. If you've read a book and you might think about writing a new book based on those ideas, you're not remembering every part of the book. You don't have a perfect memory. And you're also constantly thinking about things as your day goes on. The human brain is a goddamn mess. Generative AI is in some level stuck in amber. Though the billions of parameters might change, the data never does. The way it consumes the data may be, but the data doesn't change. In essence, generative AI is held back by the fact that it can't consider the future and is actually permanently mired in the data of the past. Their largest problem might be a far simpler one, a far sillier one, a kind of an ironic one. There might not be enough data for these bloody things to actually train on.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
While the internet may at times feel limitless, a researcher recently told the Wall Street Journal that only a tenth of the most commonly used web dataset, the Common Crawl, a freely available 250 billion page dump of the web's information, is actually of high enough quality data for large language models like ChatGPT to actually train on. Putting aside the fact that I can't find a single definition of what high quality actually means, the researcher, Pablo Villalobos, suggested that the next version of ChatGPT would require more than 5 times the amount of data it took to train its previous version, GPT-4. The new one is called GPT-5, by the way. And other researchers have suggested that AI companies are going to run out of training data in the next 2 years. Now, that sounds dire, but don't worry, they've come up with a very funny and extremely stupid idea to fix it. One specifically posed by the Wall Street Journal is that the AI companies are going to create their own synthetic data to train their models, a computer science version of inbreeding that researcher Jason Sadowski calls Habsburg AI. This is, of course, an absolutely terrible idea. A research paper from last year found that feeding model-generated data into models to train them creates something called model collapse, a degenerative learning process where models start forgetting improbable events over time as the model becomes poisoned with its own projection of reality. The paper, called The Curse of Recursion, Training on Generated Data Makes Models Forget, highlights an example where feeding a generative AI its own data eventually destroys its ability to answer questions, and within 9 generations, one answered a simple prompt about architecture with an insane screed about jackrabbits full of at symbols and weird characters. So, not to worry again, the tech overlords have come up with a great idea to fix this problem. Their common retort to the problem of synthetic data is that you could use another generative AI to monitor the synthetic data being fed into a model to make sure it's right. At this point, I'd like to get slightly angry. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? You're saying that the way to make sure the data generated by an unreliable generative AI is to use another generative AI, one with the same goddamn problems, which also hallucinates information, that knows nothing. You're going to use that AI to monitor whether the data that is created by an AI is any good. Are you completely insane? Are you insane? You're going to feed the crap from the crap machine into another crap machine to make it not make crap? Why am I reading journalists credulously printing this ridiculous solution in the New York goddamn Times? Every time these bubbles are inflated because tech executives are able to get their half-assed, half-baked solutions parroted by reporters who should know better, you don't have to give them the benefit of the goddamn fucking doubt. This is how we got the bloody metaverse. Pardon me. I've calmed down now. Anyway, if you're worried about model collapse, you're already too late, as these models are likely already being fed their own data. You see, these models are trained on the web, as I previously told you, and they're desperate. They need data. They need more stuff. They need more stuff to ingest so they can spit out more stuff. The problem is that these machines are purpose-built to make a lot of content. And so the web's already being filled with generative AI. Generative AI is already spamming the internet. A report from 404 Media from last week said that Google Books has already started to index several different works that were potentially written by AI, featuring the hallmark generic writing tropes of these models. 404 Media also reports that the same thing is happening over at Google Scholar, their index of scientific papers, with 115 different articles featuring the phrase, as of my last knowledge update, a specific phrase spat out by generative models. This is really bad, by the way, and this is only going to get worse. When you have an internet economy that is built so that the people that can put the most out there will probably get the most traffic, they're going to use these tools. These tools are great for that. If you don't give a rat fuck about the quality, this is the best thing in the world for you. And that's the thing. This is a problem both created and caused by these models. You see, the other dirty little secret of generative AI is that these models unashamedly plagiarize the entire web, leading outlets like the New York Times and authors like John Grisham to sue OpenAI for plagiarism. While OpenAI won't reveal exactly what their training data is, the New York Times was able to successfully make ChatGPT reproduce content from the newspaper, and the company has repeatedly said that it trains on publicly available data from the internet, which will naturally include things like Google Scholar and Google Books. The Times also reports that OpenAI has become so desperate for data that they've used their Whisper tool to transcribe YouTube videos into text to feed into ChatGPT's training data. Pretty sure that's plagiarism, but who am I to tell you? And as the web gets increasingly pumped full of this generative content, these models are going to just start eating their own swill, slowly corrupting themselves in a kind of ironic death. According to Zakhar Shumilov, one of the authors of the model collapse paper at the University of Cambridge, the unique problem that synthetic data creates is that it lacks human errors. Human-made training data, by the nature of it being written by a human, includes errors and imperfections, and models need to be robust to such errors. So what do we do if models are trained off of content created without them? Do we introduce the errors ourselves? How many errors are there? How do we introduce them all? And indeed, what are the errors? What do they look like? Do we even know? Are we conscious of the errors in the human language that make us human? The models aren't. Well, maybe they are. It's kind of unclear. It's kind of tough to express how deeply dangerous the synthetic data idea is for AI. Models like ChatGPT and Claude are deeply dependent on training data to improve their outputs, and their very existence is actively impeding the creation of the very thing they need to survive. While publishers like Axel Springer have cut deals to license their company's data to ChatGPT for training purposes, this money isn't flowing to the writers that create the content that OpenAI and Anthropic need to grow their models much further. In fact, I don't think you're going to see more journalists get hired as a result of these deals, which kind of makes them a little bit stupid. This puts AI companies in a kind of Kafkaesque bind, where they can't really improve a tool for automating the creation of content without human beings creating more content than they've ever created before. Just as said tool actively crowds out human-made data. It's a little silly. The solution to these problems, if you ask OpenAI's Sam Altman, is always more money and power, which is why the information reports he is trying to convince OpenAI investor Microsoft to build him, and I'm not kidding, an $100 billion supercomputer called Stargate. This massive series of interconnected machines will require entirely new ways to mount and cool processing units, and is entirely contingent on OpenAI's ability to meaningfully improve ChatGPT. Something Sam Altman claims isn't possible without more computing power. To be clear, OpenAI already failed to build a more efficient model, dubbed Arrakis, which ended up getting mothballed because it wasn't more efficient. It's also important to note that every major cloud company now has inextricably tied themselves to the generative AI movement. Google and Amazon have invested billions into ChatGPT competitor Anthropic, and both claim to be Anthropic's primary cloud provider, though isn't really obvious which one is. In doing so, they've guaranteed, according to a source of mine, about $750 million a year of revenue for Google's cloud and $800 million a year of revenue for Amazon Web Services, the cloud service from Amazon, by mandating that Anthropic uses their services to power their Claude model. This is similar to the $13 billion investment that Microsoft gave OpenAI last year, most of which was made up of credits for Microsoft's Azure Cloud, and I somehow doubt that Microsoft is going to be the noble party that goes on their earnings and says, well, we don't want to count the credits that we gave OpenAI, we want to be fair. No, they're going to mash that shit right back into their revenue. Kind of a con. Kind of makes me angry when I think about it too. Anyway, let me just put that aside. I'm not going to get pissed off again. Look, I'm surprised more people aren't really upset about this very incestuous relationship between big tech and this supposedly independent generative AI movement. Microsoft, Google, and Amazon have effectively handed cash to one or two companies that will eventually hand the cash back to them in exchange for cloud services that are necessary to make their companies work. And all three big tech firms are spending billions to expand their data center operations to capture this theoretical demand from generative AI. Every penny that OpenAI or Anthropic makes will now flow back to one of three big tech firms, even more so in the case of OpenAI, because Microsoft's investment entitles Microsoft to a share of any future profits from OpenAI and ChatGPT. Yet it doesn't even really matter if they make one, because big tech wins either way. Anthropic has to use Google Cloud and Amazon Web Services. OpenAI has to use Microsoft's Azure Cloud, and Microsoft is actively selling OpenAI's models to their Azure Cloud customers. And every time somebody uses OpenAI's models, that model is being run on Azure Cloud, generating revenue for Microsoft. This is the rot economy in action, by the way. Big Tech has funded its biggest customers for their next growth revenue stream, justifying this massive expansion of their data center operations because AI is the future. And they're telegraphing growth to these brainless drones in the market who will buy anything, who never think too hard about what they're actually investing in. AI is this big, sexy, exciting, and theoretically powerful way to centralize labor. And it's innovative sounding enough that it allows people to dream big about how it might change their lives and how it might help them not pay real people to do shit. Yeah, here's the biggest worry I have. Here's the real pickle. Here's the thing that keeps me up at night. None of these companies seem to have appeared to consider something. What if generative AI can't actually do any of the things they're excited about? What if generative AI's content, as you probably see from anything ChatGPT spits out, isn't really good enough? Hey, has anyone checked if anyone's actually using these tools, if they're helpful to anyone? Is this actually replacing anyone's work? Huh. That's a bit worrying, mate. I didn't think about that before. Just kidding, I've been thinking about it for months. Look, here's the thing. I think that the big problem here is that Sam Altman and his cronies have allowed the media, the markets, and big tech to fill in the gaps of their specious messaging. They've allowed everybody to think that OpenAI can do whatever anyone dreams. Yet, I don't think that generative AI can do much more than it is today. And also, from what I've seen, none of these generative AI companies actually make a profit. And with each new model, they become less profitable. And I don't see that changing in the future. And so I've dug in a little more. Looking under the hood, all the demand that's spurring Microsoft, Google, and Amazon's data center operations might not actually be there. My friends, I think we're in the next tech bubble. And in the next episode, I'm going to walk you through how I think it might pop. Thank you for listening to Better Offline. The editor and composer of the Better Offline theme song is Matt Osowski. You can check out more of his music and audio projects at mattosowski.com. MattOsowski.com. You can email me at easy@betteroffline.com or check out betteroffline.com to find my newsletter and more links to this podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Better Offline is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com. Or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's brand new, season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.